Light the beam, because it's time for Nerdy for 30, the podcast where we talk about nerdy-ish movies for 30-ish minutes. My name is Kevin Bauer. Oh my God, wait. Yawn or burp. Okay, neither. We're going to take that again. Dang, I was on a roll.
I think it was a yawn because it made me yawn.
Oh, there it is. What if when we burp, we made everybody else burp? Like, what if everything was contagious?
Burps would be like that. Okay, what's the number one bodily function to become contagious?
No, fart.
Like yawns. Farts is number one.
That'd be very funny.
God, if every time you farted, somebody else farted, especially because like you can't necessarily see somebody fart. So it would be more of like an instinctive.
You smell it, but you didn't hear anyone deal it, then you also, what if you then also did a silent but deadly? Like, what if your body responded accordingly with whatever it detected?
I'd like to think it's like, you know how fish don't run into each other when they're swimming in a school because there's like electricity passing between them? I'd like to think like we have some of that. Well, I think there's some like electric, they all have like this like line on the side of them that releases like electro something. I don't know, something weird. And so it helps them connect with other feel things around them. And so fish swim in a school and they move as one creature and one organism. It's kind of beautiful. And I think maybe if humans farted like that, we'd have something grand.
Yeah.
It'd be something awesome. Grand.
We all just have a line straight down our ass crack and it helps us sync up with everybody else's farts.
So you're listening to Nerdy for 30, the podcast where we talk about nerdy-ish things for 30-ish minutes. My name's Tim Keck. This is Kevin Bauer. And we're talking, you cracked in a little early to fart talk. So that's great. Today, whenever you're listening to this, we're covering Night Swim, a new Blumhouse movie. Helmed by Wyatt Russell and an otherwise wonderful cast. Kevin, what'd you think of Night Swim?
Honestly, I loved it. I thought it's obviously very bad.
Loved it.
I had a great time. It's a very fun, like, go see it with a big crowd movie. It's not quite Malignant caliber in terms of things that you should see with a crowd at midnight at a bar, but it's extremely fun. And I'm curious to hear what you think about whether or not they leaned in hard enough to the goofiness of this movie. Tim, what did you think?
This movie in some ways embodies everything that is wrong with film and entertainment today. Just give us what we want. Give us the thing. You called it Night Swim. Give me more night. Give me more swim. They didn't lean into this nearly hard enough, Kevin. They needed some deaths. I needed some hands getting cut off. I needed people getting sucked down drains violently. I needed like some classic gore. I needed them to crank this up to 11 and they didn't do it. And this was fun. This was a good time. Our theater was a little awkward. There was this old man who yelled at these girls for like being on their phones. It was very uncomfortable for everyone.
Shout out Spencer.
And we were in a small theater. It was strange. But Night Swim, I just wanted more. I wanted more of the thing they were doing. I wanted more all the time.
It's PG-13. That's why. Is this going to be the trend?
Oh, that's why.
Is this going to be the
trend,
Tim?
Right there.
Every January, they drop a PG-13 that should have been an R. Who's this for? Who are you keeping out of these movies?
You're right.
13-year-olds in our screening?
No, it was all grown-ups looking for something fun to do.
Yeah.
And this wasn't it. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's just the PG-13 of it. I mean, I had the same complaint about Megan.
Yeah.
Where it's like PG-13 and it's like, yes, just give us, I wanted some violence. But even then they could have done, maybe every complaint I have is just because it was PG-13. Right? Like they concocted this weird excuse for the pool to be haunted. And yet I don't think they followed any of the same rules. Right. That I think, you know, we could get into that of like the rules of the pool.
Sure. Pool gotta
and they kind of pigeonholed themselves with the rules so that it could only be so violent kind of, the pool.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. So the pool is tapped into a ground spring that I guess is haunted pretty much. Mm-hmm. That's what we get. We don't have an origin outside of that other than that people have been coming to this spring forever and it'll grant a wish, but it takes something in return.
Right.
And so there's this evil spirit in this spring. It is somehow coming up through the ground into this pool. And Wyatt Russell goes in. He's an injured baseball player. He suddenly gets stronger. He's more more physically dominant. He starts banging home runs out of the park. He's in great shape now. And after that, the pool starts becoming violent and attacking people and trying to pull them down, I guess, kind of half-assed. I mean, it's not trying too hard. I don't really know what the pool's trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. But in theory, they granted Wyatt Russell's wish of being physically able. And then at the end of the movie, Wyatt Russell sacrifices himself to the pool when he dies.
Right.
And that on its face makes sense. I think it's very limiting because the rule is we grant a wish and we take a life, you know? And so if they're only granting one wish in this movie, then they're only taking one life in this movie, you know?
Yeah.
Unless they just made it like a magic pool and had more people getting their wishes granted and more people dying. What if they did that? What if the daughter gets a wish granted and then somebody's pool hopping, they go in the pool in the middle of the night and they get sucked down and they die.
Oh, I fucking
or they're ripped
love
apart.
It. More minor easy wishes peasy. Too. That'd be great if it's a situation yes. where like the pool starts granting wishes that you didn't necessarily sign on for yet. But yes. you just happen to be in the pool when you're like, man, I wish I had a PB&J right now. And then a PB&J appears and you're like, what the fuck? And there's a man with a knife behind you in the pool.
Yeah. Or like even she's with that guy. Well, yes, yeah. I don't want to dismiss your knife thing. The knife PB&J is so funny. But she's got her boyfriend in the pool.
Uh-huh.
And what if she's like before that is like, I wonder if he likes me or whatever. And then the pool kind of makes him like her.
Oh my God. And then she's got to wonder like, whether or not it was the pool.
Then she's got to wonder whether or not it's a pool. But then it's also like, what's the equivalent exchange? Is death the only response? Sure. Or is it like, make a boy like you lose a hand?
Oh, that's fun. Yeah.
Right?
So it's just kind of like a violent pool then. So it seems like it was triggered by the blood. Wyatt Russell is cleaning out the drain on this pool that's been not used since a girl drowned in it. He cuts his hand on something. Huge missed opportunity that we don't see what he cut his hand on. Kind of crazy.
Yeah.
That we never see what he cut his hand on. Because whatever it was deep. It's like a, like the cut that he had on his hand was a blood pact cut. Where I don't know if you've noticed this, but anytime they do a blood pact in the movie, whatever movie it is, doesn't matter even what genre it is, they always cut way too fucking deep. I don't know if it's like a limitation on hand prosthetic technology and like the only way it'll be able to read on screen is if you cut half an inch deep into your hand, but it can be like the Goonies and they're doing a blood oath and they just take a giant knife and tear into their hands. That's the kind of cut that Wyatt Russell had on his hand. And then that blood connecting with the water from the spring causes it to start barfing this like cursed water back out into the pool. And I think exactly what you've described is perfect. Maybe that spill of blood is just enough to let them have the perfect pool party. But
yes.
maybe if he lost a finger, it would have been the perfect pool party and people would have complimented his grilling.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, it could even start with he got his hand cut. Mm-hmm. And so now he gets a compliment about the grill. And then his son breaks his leg in the pool or something. And then that's something else. Like, because then the part that doesn't necessarily make sense about this mm-hmm. is it grants a wish. It takes a price. And the price in this case is death. It is. Sure. They want a human to die. But in between that happening, there's a lot of teasing. It's like people see haunted images in the pool. People get like grabbed, but not like pulled down or taken. It seems very weird unless you have to be willing to sacrifice yourself to the pool or something. But they take a kid and then the mom goes down and gets him. It's very strange, the mechanics of it. And I think for this to be if you make a movie called Night Swim, I think if you want it to be best case, it's called classic status, right? Like that's the best you can hope for is that people rewatch this and talk about how crazy it is and get their friends to watch it. Mm-hmm. I think it's gotta be a little crazier. And then, oh my God, I completely lost my train of thought.
I think I know where you were heading toward, Tim.
Yes.
I think the answer is yes. It is fucking crazy that we never got a scene where the whole pool was filled with blood.
Yes. Yes. It is crazy. There wasn't enough blood in the water thing. It did have black goo, but there wasn't like it wasn't extracting a toll. It wasn't bloody enough. I don't know.
Yeah, it's very the weird. Same. The problem they ran into here is the same problem that you run into with demons in movies that I've harped about on this podcast multiple times. It's that when you get down to it, what they want isn't that scary. So you have this thing where it's like she gets pulled down into this world. And there's a bunch of spirits and they're all just kind of staring at her and swimming at her. And they're kind of trying to hold her down there. But like, they're only going to take one life. They're going to take the kid. That's it. Like when she gets teased and they kind of the big bloated guy ghost kind of like grabs her hair, I think, and pulls the daughter like down into the dark zone, the sunken place.
Yeah.
He's down there and he's kind of taunting her, but like, you know, this is a pool that had the ability to slash Wyatt Russell's hand open. Like, this is a pool that can do some weird, scary, mysterious things, and here it is not doing anything scary. It's like in any demon movie where it's like the worst that the demon does most of the time is like shake a cabinet. And it's like, this is not that bad.
Right, right. I think that's exactly where I was going, is that if you wanted to be called classic status, I think part of that is establishing rules and then maybe bending or breaking them a little bit enough that people will debate the rules and it'll antagonize people. Yeah, I mean, man. This water is sentient and able to infiltrate the house, come out of a faucet into a glass, and the pool is able to control the glass so that it slides off a table, breaks in giant shards so that a girl running from the pool can then trip and fall, put her hand on the glass, and we get like one of the few violent scenes in the movie, or one of the you know, few bloody scenes in the movie. That's crazy. And we go from that to not being able to drown people in a pool. It's people drown in pools all the time. Too many, probably. And the pool that is evil can't drown people. So it's very crazy with them. OK, also bending the rules. And this is the kind of thing that I think would be called status, if not for all this other stuff. How did the pool turn the TV on? The pool turns a TV on and it's playing video of Wyatt Russell practicing for baseball.
Maybe this is going to be like a Back to the Future 3 thing where it turns out that there was another pool, like a good pool, like a day pool. And the day pool was haunting the house in a good way and trying to prevent the evil that the night pool was bringing in.
Oh, my God. That's great. And then somehow you have to get the good water spirit to fight the bad water spirit. And they're like got a water truck that they're like trying to get across town or something.
That's
or they
crazy.
Freeze it and then thaw it out. Yeah, there's a lot of weirdness in this. Tim, yeah.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here. Suspense wise, I'm trying to think. I know that there have been movies that we've seen since starting this podcast that have had such a feeling of dread that they put in your stomach when something is happening. Like, I know that there have been things, I think it's the Paranormal Activity series. Every time you would see one of those in theaters and it would switch to the night vision camera and you would know, like, people would go to bed, the night vision camera turns on. The dread that sweeps through the entire theater, you can feel it. People groan. We want to see it, but we don't want to see it so badly. One of them, I think it was Paranormal Activity 3, had a camera that was, it was a night vision camera that was affixed to the top of an oscillating fan. And so the fan was just going like excruciatingly slowly back and forth. And you would see the start of something creepy and then the fan would slowly pan away. And people were wailing in the crowd. I think more recently in Barbarian, I won't spoil anything for Barbarian. If you haven't seen it, fucking go watch it right now. But in the beginning of the movie, there is a part where they are heading down into the basement. And with each successive step closer to the dark door in the basement they take, the entire crowd was getting more and more freaked out. That is the level of suspense we need to feel in the theater anytime anybody sets foot in this pool. If anybody goes into this pool, the entire crowd has to go like, oh, because we know something awful is going to happen.
Yeah, I think you spoiled Barbarian just by acknowledging the door. I mean, I think that was a big difference because the beginning of the movie is all about just fine. I don't know, whatever. We don't want to get derailed with Barbarian, but I went in completely ignorant to Barbarian and it was amazing the whole time. Very tense, crazy. There was moments in the theater where people were like, oh, they're reaching into this thing. I think the theater wanted it so bad and we all walked away with blue balls a little bit. Mm-hmm. like it kept building up this tension and then we weren't really satisfied with it. And so, you know, it released. One thing that I will say was satisfying, Kevin, they talked about the pool a lot in a way that I love for a movie called Night Swim. Wyatt Russell just had so many monologues where he's like, and we have a pool. And they just talked about the pool to each other. And Wyatt Russell at one point is really sick and possessed. And he's like, just put me in the pool. And it's like, what are you talking about? I have to get back in the pool. Just one more time in the pool. And his wife's just like, why would I put you in the pool? What's your obsession with the pool? Like, it's great. The dialogue around the pool is so good and so funny. I love that. They crush that part of it.
The line... Wyatt Russell's line delivery on We Have a Pool is worth the price of admission. That line alone was worth my Regal movie pass this month. It is, it's already a front runner for best sound of 2024. I don't know how anything can top this entire year. Wyatt Russell's saying We Have a Pool.
My favorite, even better than that one, is when Wyatt Russell's possessed. He's attacking the family and he like really hurts his kid. And then the daughter comes down and like beats him with a bat until he submits. And then he finally turns back. He throws up some black water and is back to being Wyatt Russell. And he looks over at him. He goes like, is he hurt? And just like a completely like a bored dad has so many better things to be doing after just being possessed and hurting his kid and just completely nonplussed by the whole idea. Crazy.
Dude, hilarious. And that was like, if you've ever like crashed at a friend's place on the couch after a party and then somebody knocks on the door for a delivery in the morning and you wake up and you're hungover and you're like, should I get the door? He was like, is he okay?
It is like you're in someone else's house and you don't know if you can or cannot do stuff. Yeah. You know, am I allowed to do this? Am I allowed to? Do they have a different system that I'm not aware of? You just seem like, I'm not sure if I should be asking in case I'm breaching etiquette somehow. But he was incredible delivery, man.
Oh, so good.
So funny.
So good.
Yeah. Jodie Long too.
She
was the woman who was possessed that they went to go see, the mother of the first kid.
Yeah.
So we know at the beginning of the movie, this girl drowns and she has a brother who's very sick. He hears her drowning. He can't help her because he's so sick. Turns out his mom locks him in the room and she chose her son over her daughter. She let the pool take her daughter in exchange for her son's health and well-being. And she is also clearly possessed by the pool. She has pool water leaking out of her eyes and stuff still. And it's been like 20 years or something like that. Yeah. It's been crazy long. But they have a scene with her and this woman who is just crushing it. She is all kinds of possessed and having a good time. And I loved it. I kind of wish there'd been more of that. Like, why not possess everyone at the pool party or something? And
oh my God, dude, you know, guys.
Get some weird contorted facial expressions and way too big smiles and leaky eyes. And I don't know. There's more stuff there, I think. But she was great. She was so cool.
Oh, when the water starts. So there's a scene. She's got an oxygen tank with her. And there's a scene where the water starts leaking down the tube of the oxygen tank. It would have been so sick if that was a tank of the pool water. And she had to be hooked up to this pool water all the time to survive.
That's what I was wondering. And why is it leaking out of her into the tank?
Yeah, it was really strange. But I think it was oxygen, right? Like she opened up. Like
you think it was oxygen. Yeah.
And there was oxygen flowing out for a while.
It should be oxygen.
Like mechanically, like physically, I think that can't happen.
Yeah, oxygen is flowing up upstream. How is liquid going down it? And it's going back into the tank. And also it's magic possessed liquid. So why does it want to be in the tank?
Yeah.
And is she doing anything to expel it from her body? The fact that she's thinking about this after not for so long, it's coming back out of her, that she's like fighting it or something. I don't know.
It's kind of like a weird, it's like a symbiotic relationship where, you know, do you want to have this? Is your life actually better having this? Did she have 20 great years? That was another thing I was going to ask Tim. Is it kind of worth it? Is it like a little bit worth it? Is that a bad question to ask her?
To what?
You know, when the people are like, this is a kid that we don't like that much. Yeah, Paul can have this one.
Yeah. Oh, man, you're talking about me getting all my wildest dreams and all I have to do is find some hobo and like drop him in the pool. Yeah, man, I'm there.
Well, I think you have to care. You would have to like form a relationship. You would have to care with the hobo and then
I'd have to care about the hobo. Yeah. OK, so I'm going to find a hobo. I'm going to trick him into putting down his bindle and moving in with me. And we're going to be like roommates for a couple years.
Sure.
And we're going to grow a real bond, have some late night talks. And then I'm slowly going to convince him to go swimming with me at night and then just get out at the last moment and let the pool take him. And if that's true, I can have $1 billion.
Yeah. To clarify, too, this is like a season one of Mad Men, like 1960s stereotypical hobo. Like this guy is.
Yeah. No, this is a classy guy.
Hobo code. Like, yeah, this is the guy that talks to Don Draper when he was a kid.
Yeah, hopping train cars and stuff like mm-hmm. that. This guy, yeah. this guy's living a good life and he's happy doing what he does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This guy's if it becomes a situation like that, then you're just feeding your night pool. You're just feeding your night swim pool, you know?
So does, okay, if I want $1 million from the pool, will sure. I, can the pool like access a computer mainframe to adjust how does the pool connect to Wells Fargo? Does it do like a transfer of some kind? Is this traceable? Like, how would it do something like that? Or are all the wishes like health and wellness?
Tim, the pool is on r/WallStreetBets. The pool is options trading. You throw your phone in, it opens up a Robinhood account. It's taking care of everything.
It's holding GameStop.
Still. It's still, never letting still, go.
That pool's never letting to the top, to the moon.
You throw your phone in the pool and you check what stocks it bought. And it's like, oh, what? More pool cleaning stocks? These are bad investments, pool.
Gosh, I can't even think of a pool company.
Yeah, I was thinking, what about like the people, isn't it Scuba? Like, didn't the people that make Roomba, they have like a pool cleaning robot?
Called I was going to
name check that, but I felt like most people would have no idea what the hell I was talking about with that riff.
Yeah, there was like a Pool Haven or something that we used to go to. So my dad could get like a gallon of chlorine. We never went in the pool, but he would always come buy a bunch of chlorine to dump in it. And those were good days. Yeah, aww. Those are fun drives with dad to the pool cleaning store, which was like a fun house. You know, they got all sure. kinds of they got all the kind of stuff. It's like the Container Store, but for pools, you know, where you're like you walk in and you're like, oh, if I had the budget, I could fix my life right now.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, oh, man, I could have a flamingo. I could get a bar in the pool. I could get all these floaties. I could get a second pool outside my, you know, it's just like the possibilities are endless. And maybe that's the kind of stock that it's buying. Now it seems to me, this was my pitch after the movie, was that the pool really only heals people. That's kind of all it does. But in exchange, it hurts people. And so the people that are that are like the ghosts in the pool, that are being trapped in the pool, there's bad ones. They're all trying to grab her and like pull him down and pull White Russell down or whoever, the mom. They're all attacking, except for the little girl who drowned. And she was sure. she was good. She was sweet. And she actually, you know, drops a quarter to let her know that she's going the wrong way and help her get up. So she's a benevolent ghost, I guess. And she died because the brother was healed. My question is everyone else who's ever used the spring someone who tried to heal themselves and ultimately died in the spring because of it? And that's why they're all angry and bitter and undeserving.
Oh, maybe. So then why it would be down there as like a bitter pool ghost, right? Because he was killed by his own actions.
Right. You think that's kind of the question, right? Is like, is Wyatt a good ghost or a bad ghost? And you'd think that his arc is what happened with all these other bad ghosts, right?
Sure.
It's like a nurse who's like, I cure my syphilis. And so she goes to the spring and they're like, no more syphilis. That's great. But then, you know, she starts seeing things every time she goes to the water. Also, why not just like get your syphilis cured and then leave? Then just like, don't go to the spring anymore. You know,
I mean, I
and
guess then it's the like, water stays in you.
The he water stays get too far in from you. I the guess pool, it could. Remember?
like the water started like attacking him. He's like, you got to bring me back to the pool. And the lady made it out of there, but the water was still within her. And then as soon as it was brought up to her, she started like bubbling the water out again.
Oh, that's true. And so maybe she wasn't actually that far away from the spring somehow. That she had that fountain in her house. Wait, you know what? She at some point she's walking and she says, this is as far as I can go.
Yeah.
Do you think that's like how far she could get from the spring, or there's another source of the spring in her house that won't let her walk to the other side of her house?
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah, that'd be really fucking cool.
Also, what if you grab that person and drag them away?
Oh, they explode.
Would they die?
Yeah.
You think they explode, or would the pool purge from them?
No, I think they would explode. I think the pool would purge from them, but like by taking their face off.
Then why don't we get to see that? I want to see that.
I want to see it too.
Okay.
Night Swim 2, dude. Still swimming.
All right. Night Swim 2. Night Swim 2, Day Swim. I don't know. Night Swim 2, Back in the Water. Night Swim 2.
Good pool, bad pool. What was the Jaws 2 subtitle? Did Jaws 2 have one? I know there was like Jaws 3, The Revenge.
Yeah, that's because none of the original people were in it, and it was their revenge on us, the moviegoer.
No, Jaws 2 was just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water.
Jaws 2 is fun. It's dumb. It's not nearly as good as the first one. You haven't seen Jaws 2?
I love Jaws 1 so much, Tim. I was so scared to, like, I don't want to sully it.
Oh, it's not nearly as good. It's not nearly as good as the first one, but it's kind of fun for like a dumb movie. Yeah.
Okay. If it's like a decent hang with Roy Scheider, I'm in for that.
It might be. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The more I think about it, it's probably a really bad movie, but I saw it as a kid. I tried to watch all of them as a kid and quickly derailed.
Sure.
I got to the one they did at SeaWorld or something like that, and then I don't think I finished it. It was very weird.
Can't fault you for that. No, there's one with Michael Caine that's horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
There's one where like the wife, the shark calls to her and she has to go out and find it. I think that's the third. I don't know. Maybe that's the Michael Caine one. I don't know. Kevin, you got any other thoughts on Night Swim? Any beefs or thieves you want to get out?
The only other thing that I have is, again, to take it back to like why demons kind of suck in movies, is I want to play a little thought game with you called And Then What? So these ghosts, right? They are trying to pull these people down. They want that soul. They pull them into the sunken place and they're surrounding them and they're trying to hold them down. And then what, Tim? What do they want? Why are they trying to hold these people down? Not a trick question, just and then what?
Yeah, what does any curse want?
Yeah, I guess so. What? Let's say company. Theoretically, they want the person to die so that their soul's trapped there, right? And then what?
But then what do they get out of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they just like when the sunken place closes up and the pool is like sated for a while? Do they all just hang out? Like, are they just hungry for more company? Do they talk? Do these souls talk to each other? Are they drifting? Is this like, you know, a purgatory where they feel nothing? Because if they feel nothing, then why do they have these wants? It's the exact same thing as that like space that they're all drifting around in Insidious, like all the ghosts. They're all creepy and stuff until you realize like, I don't know what you want. What you want, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it just wants to hold ghosts unless it's like eating, you know, like why does a leopard hunt? It's so that it can gain nutrients and sustain itself. Do you think it has a need to do this? Why? You're right. Why is it eating when it gets ghosts? Do the ghosts get more deranged like way after they should have died?
Oh, that could be. But then if so, why? Like,
yeah,
what does their derangement offer them?
Yeah, if your spirit is trapped in the pool, you're just stuck there forever.
Yeah.
What happens to your body?
Yeah. Where'd it go? Pool ate it. Okay, cool. So now it has more like mass with which to, is it the blob? Is this like a very aquatic version of the blob where it's very slowly becoming bigger by eating more and more people? I would accept that. Human body's 70% water.
I think I'd like it better if they ditched the whole spirit thing and just stuck with bodies. You know, it's like, I want your physical body. And it just like pulls a whole body through the bottom of the pool. And then you're fighting all these like real bodies that are like lifeless, but possessed by this demon.
That would be fucking horrifying. That's the exact kind of thing I'm talking about. If we saw, did you ever see the movie Event Horizon where it ends with Sam Neill getting sucked through a hole, like a crack in an alien spaceship? I think Ripley does it in an alien movie too. If there was that happening with the drain at the bottom of this pool, and like early in the movie, we watch somebody get sucked through this thing, that is the kind of thing that starts to create the tension I'm talking about, where every time somebody sets foot in the pool, we're like, fuck, because we don't know how they're going to die a horrible death, but we know that they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Or why not just make it like an actual monster?
Oh.
But it's confined to the pool somehow.
Oh.
And so it like, so it tries to get them and chase them, and they think it's haunting the house, but eventually they find out that it can't actually get that far from the pool. You know, like it breaks into the house. It's trying to get them. Ew. And then all of a sudden it stops and they're like, oh, this is the line. And then they do a chalk out line all the way around the pool, like the monster's diameter. And then they have to figure out a way to kill it before the big pool party on Sunday.
That fucking rules, dude. I love that. Oh my God. I thought that was where we were heading for a minute with when we first saw that there was like a physical form to something in the pool and it looked like a witchy head or something. I was like, oh, we got ourselves a creepy ass witch. It's going to be cool.
And then, a witch would have been great. A water spirit, something, some sort of like a swamp monster.
A kappa, just a good old fashioned kappa.
Yeah, man. We could do a Blumhouse movie. Mm. Real easy. I don't know. They need to talk to us. They need to consult us more. Have us come up with some of these premises for them, because we could have punched up Night Swim pretty hard.
Could have done it.
Although not the pool talk. The pool talk, spot on. The horror. Yeah,
incredible.
Needed some help. But man, the pool. What a pool, man. That was a good pool. Where would you rate that pool, you know, on a scale of, you know, pool to pool? What would you... Mm. How would you rank that pool as far as just the neighborhood? You go over to your buddy's house and he's got that pool.
That's a great neighborhood pool. It's a realistic pool, but it's like a great pool in that it's got a sizable shallow end, a deep, deep end.
Yes.
I do think that the diving board was probably angled wrong, because if you were to go straight out from the diving board, I'm pretty sure you would hit the shallow end pretty quickly. Like if you were to actually make an arc, you would just kind of smack into the slope from the shallow end to the deep end. So I think the diving board probably should have been angled like longwise into, like if you flip the pool hamburger style, diving board probably should be angled more into the deep end. I don't know. That's my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, Steve? It's like hanging over almost the entire width length of the deep end.
Yeah.
So if somebody dives and goes a couple feet out, you
know, your head right in there.
Yeah. Christopher Reeves right in that thing.
It's designed like that just to try to take bodies.
Maybe that's it. Maybe the water demon keeps scooting the diving board closer to the pool so that it gets a little farther out so that it can knock someone in the shallow end.
Man, airplane style, somebody's great on the diving board in the very end of the movie, and it's just hanging over the shallow end at this point. Just like a 20-foot long diving board.
Yeah, I think it's a good pool. It's a good pool. It's a great neighborhood pool. It's huge. You can get everybody in there. You can get the barbecue going. And you're right. A real deep end is a commodity, I think.
Yeah.
You know, a real deep end. Not, you know, my family pool growing up, it was like 6 feet. And it's like when you're a kid, that's deep. But as an adult who also wants to feel like they're in the deep pool, you know, let's crank it up to like 12. Yeah. Let's just get it. Let's just get it. You know, 20. Let's go 20 feet.
20.
Dude, I want you to like be afraid for a second that you're not going to get back to the surface. That's the kind of like sharp awareness you need in a family pool.
Yeah, you've always said your ideal pool is just a wedge shape where the shallow end is 2 feet deep and the deep end is 20 feet deep.
Yes, it definitely is. And the shallow end, I like a big shallow end. So it's 2 feet deep, you know, but the whole shallow end is only 2 feet deep. And then the rest of the pool is only 20 feet deep.
Yeah,
and there's no in between. Yes, yes. You go from like nice recliners with your butt in the water to like scuba diving practice.
For sure.
Yeah. Get the whole gamut.
It's
yeah.
like a it's an artificial seawall. Like you're just constructing a seawall in your backyard.
It's like California. Like, it just kind of drops off like a cliff out there. Got great whites in the other end. Oh, man. Were you ever scared of the pool?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Absolutely. I thought there were sharks.
Did you ever think there was something in it?
Absolutely.
Yes. I definitely did as a kid. I don't know why. It's so dumb. You can see the bottom. Yeah. There's nothing there.
You can see all of it.
There's no surprises. Nice
pool. It's idyllic. You're a kid. You're in this pool. You're having fun. Suddenly you remember sharks exist and you just got to get out.
Yeah. Like, what if there's a shark in this pool? You know what? Because I grew up in Florida and like we would get snakes in the pool frequently. Yeah. You just walk out one day and there's snakes in the pool. Or like a snake in the pool. So then you get the hook, you know, like the brush, you grab the snake, you open the screen door, you throw it outside and you're good. I was never scared that there was going to be a snake in the pool. I was scared there was going to be a shark, which was the a very real threat, you know, a snake in the pool. I have strong evidence that it happens and that it exists, but those sharks, man, the last thing you want to do is tangle with a shark, not in the deep end. Not in the shallow end, not in any pool whatsoever do I want to get tangled in with a shark.
Nowhere, dude.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Gosh, what if they were just at a shark in this pool? That would have been great.
That's good enough if there's just straight up a shark in the pool.
The spring possesses a shark, or you know what? An alligator. Alligators are in springs.
Oh, alligators are low-key scarier than a shark when it comes to a pool, too, because they will go in a pool, right? Like, they'll go in a chlorinated
pool. Oh, yeah, they'll definitely go in a pool. That's, you could totally have an alligator in the pool. Yeah. Yeah. Man, shark would die immediately.
Do you know, this is a PG-13 movie. They should be trying to scare like tweens with this thing. If you put in a movie that there was a shark in a neighborhood pool, like the kind of pool that kids are in, like a chlorinated neighborhood pool, that's the kind of scene that could fuck some kids up and like shut down a neighborhood pool because nobody's going there that summer.
Dude, we should do a movie called like Toilet Gator. Or something. And it's just like a giant saltwater crocodile that's just traveling from pool to pool through the drain system. And it like pops up in toilets and rips people down. Like, dude, that could be something. You know what? Cut it out of the pod and we'll write it. We'll write it tonight.
Oh, my God. Listener, what do you think? Should we dedicate our night to writing Toilet Gator? Let us know. Nerdyfit30@gmail.com. We'll be back here again next week. We'll see you then. Until then. Thanks for listening, everybody, and stay nerdy.
Stay nerdy. Bye. Long live Toilet Gator.
Long live the Toilet Gator.
Dude, I think this has legs. Now I have like 3 screenplays to write. Oh,
I think it's got 4 legs and a big ass toilet tail.
Ha, 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 ha,